So our text for this morning's meditation is from Exodus chapter 13. These words, "Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth?" So our text, you may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Moses understood that the uniqueness of the children of Israel was not to be found in their heritage, in their genetics, in the fact that they all were descendants of one man, of one man, Abraham, and his wife, Sarah. For Abraham and Sarah had beget Isaac, and Isaac and his wife, Rebekah, Jacob. Jacob also was given the name Israel by God, and it was from Israel and his 12 sons that the children of Israel came into existence. But that's not what made the children of Israel unique. That is, that they were all descended from one man and his wife. I mean, it could have been. I, for example, know of a family that has 11 sons and a daughter, 11 sons and a daughter, and all are married, and at last count, they have over 80 grandchildren, most of whom all have the same last name. Now, that'd be something to be proud of. That is, to be part of such a large family. And certainly the Jews of today take pride in being descendants of the children of Israel, the 12 sons of Israel, and Abraham. But that was not the pressing issue for Moses in our text. Now, of lesser importance for Moses was also the history of the children of Israel. The fact that God, with miracle after miracle, had caused the Pharaoh in Egypt to release the children of Israel from their slavery to the Egyptians. And then with his mighty hand, he had caused the children of Israel to walk through the middle of the Red Sea on dry ground. And then he had caused that same sea to come crashing down upon the Egyptian army that had come in hot pursuit after Pharaoh had changed his mind about their release. Not only had God then rescued the children of Israel with his mighty hand from Egypt, God then had caused to be made with the children of Israel an agreement, a covenant, written with his very finger on tablets of stone. Yes, the children of Israel could justly be proud of the way by which God had rescued them and established his covenant within them. The children of Israel could be very proud of their history. But that was not it. That was not what was most important. That was not what would make the children of Israel unique within the world. Of course, when we think about it, such things are so often what still gives us our identity. That is who we are. And our identity is shaped and formed by where we came from, and what God has accomplished within our lives by his mighty hand. This is who my parents are. This is what my grandparents did. This is where my family is from. Such expressions are not uncommon. Yet, even today, in conversations, as we attempt to establish and maintain how others think of us in the world. And yes, our accomplishments in our lives also help to define us, to give us an identity, to create relationships, and establish how we should think about ourselves and how the world should think about us. During my last year of study in Germany, for example, I was asked to preach in German to a congregation of Volga Deutsch, that is, Germans who had grown up in Russia, but who, when the wall fell in 1989, had come west. Now, oddly enough, when I was introduced to the congregation of Germans who grew up in Russia during communism, the strangeness of now having an American preach to them was not lost on the older German pastor who had asked me to preach to them. So he introduced me as Herr Master of Divinity Paul Strahn. The only time my master's degree has ever been used in such a way. But it did have the effect that that old pastor wanted in hearing about that academic degree. Then I was someone to listen to. So they thought. Such things remained important today. That is what we have accomplished and where we are from. And so we would think that the genetic origin of the children of Israel and their unique history as the children of God would have been enough. Enough for them to march boldly through the wilderness from Egypt to the promised land and to conquer it and possess it. The land that Abraham had indeed promised, had been promised by God, but it was not. Those two identifiers were not. For the thing that was most important to Moses, the thing that made the children of Israel unique, that is different than all the other people on the face of the earth, all the other nations and tribes and ethnicities. Yes, what made the children of Israel truly unique and special was that God was going to go with them. God was going to dwell with them, be with them, accompany them throughout their wilderness wanderings. Now, doesn't seem like much. Doesn't seem like much until we realize that Moses insisted that if God wasn't going to go with them, they might as well not even go. For if God was not going to remain with the children of Israel, they would be no different than any other people on the face of the earth, all of whom had descended from someone, all of whom had some unique history of significant and meaningful events. Of course, our temptation nowadays is to see our lives in just such a way. But in order for our lives truly to be significant, truly to be of meaning and value, in order for our lives truly to be different than the lives of those around us, God must remain with us as well throughout our lives. That is, God must go with us. God must lead us. God must guide us. For oddly enough, we may indeed be part of a family that has an impressive heritage. And we may have accomplished much in our lives, but as we too will die and be forgotten, and oftentimes forgotten very quickly, we should also, in repentance, come to the same conclusion as did Moses, that great prophet of God. And that is, if God does not go with us throughout our lives, what's the point? What's the point? But the wonderful thing is that God does this. And God does go with us throughout our lives. For being baptized into God, into the Father, into the Son, into the Holy Spirit, what happens but that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they take up residency within us. And they live with us in union and communion to lead us and guide us throughout our lives. So our Heavenly Father, for example, provides all that we need to support this body and life. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, He intercedes for us and works with us continually, even assuring us physically of His presence and care and comfort sacramentally in His supper, the Lord's Supper. And the Holy Spirit keeps us with Christ and comforts us with the assurance that in Christ, God is not angry with us, but happy with us. Daily forgiving our sins, and so the Holy Spirit causes us to live in joy and peace and love and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. What does the crucifixion, death of our Lord and Savior Jesus and His resurrection from the dead, justifying us before the Father, show us, but that God wants to be with us? God wants to be with us and remain with us and lead us and guide us, yes. Yes, as we read in Proverbs 16, we use our minds to make our plans as we live our life, but it's the Lord who Himself guides our steps. If we truly are honest with ourselves, we must admit that such guidance, the guidance of the Lord, continues constantly throughout our lives as we live daily through faith in Jesus. For so much happens in our lives, so many good things that cannot be explained simply by our heritage and our abilities. And so much does not happen in our lives that could indeed happen, but does not. And the reason that this is so is also not because of our heritage and our abilities, but for some unknown reason that we cannot explain. Back to Germany, I remember panicking once as I woke up just as the train I was on was leaving my stop in Marburg. I'd fallen asleep on the train ride back from Frankfurt, and I didn't know what I was going to do. How was I going to get back? Well, sticking my hand in my pocket, I found some money there. A few marks, not euros. And getting off in the next town north of Marburg, I bought a ticket back to Marburg and got back on the next train heading south. Now, I had panicked because I was sure I didn't have any money. And yet in my pocket, I found some money. The right amount of money to buy a ticket. Now, such dramatic demonstrations of the guidance of our Father in heaven, who is with us with his Spirit and the Son of God, Jesus, do not happen every day, but they do happen every day. Happen every day, imperceptibly, from the time that we wake up until the time that we go to bed. That's why the Apostle Paul can tell us by the guidance of the Holy Spirit that all things do indeed work together for our good, for them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. When we think about the presence of God within us, of God going with us throughout our lives, it's easy for me personally to think of those times when our children would not do some sort of challenging thing unless we went with them as they were doing. Sure, as parents, we wanted them to go it alone, to have the courage to try to climb up on that playground apparatus or to go talk to another child that they did not know or whatever the situation called for. You go with me, is what they would say. Of course, as they got older, that you go with me became you don't need to go with me. And then eventually, I got this. Great. But is that what we do with God? Do we, as Moses, cry out, "You to God, you go with me." And then over time, "You don't need to go with me." And then finally, "I got this." That is, "God, I can do this myself without your guidance, without your care, without your protection." If this is so, we're simply foolish. For why would we not want our loving Heavenly Father, the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and our Savior Jesus Christ constantly to be with us, leading and guiding us? Perhaps it's because we simply want to be alone. Because others around us have not been beneficial to us. Because we ourselves have let others down. And that being the case, it's just the safest, so to speak, to go it alone. To be alone. To live life alone. But of course it's not. And going it alone is not any special or unique or noble way to go through life. And we're certainly not the first people to come up with it. In fact, if we think somehow we're being clever by doing so, we'd have to admit that in doing so, going through life without the care and guidance of anyone, even God himself, we're just as clever as the millions and millions and millions of people throughout the world who are doing exactly the same thing right this moment. Much better, of course, is simply to embrace the fact that God would go through life with us, within us. And there's no better way that we could go through life. And it is the presence of God within us in our lives that truly makes us distinct, different, something other than the other peoples of the world. No matter where they are from, no matter what they have done. Perhaps that gives us a little bit of perspective as the Winter Olympics will soon begin with athletes from all over the world competing to demonstrate the validity of their heritage, where they're from, and their accomplishments, how good they are. Athletes who nonetheless will soon be forgotten as the countless athletes before them have been. There truly is a better way to live. Amen. Now, may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith.